This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day. It's Trader Nick in the United States. Good afternoon from London. Almost afternoon where you are, Nick. How are you doing?
Yes, 8 minutes to go till afternoon, Johnny, here in the US. Happy Friday to you.
Yes, and well, the sun is shining here in the United Kingdom, certainly from a weather point of view. Economically, well, we had the Bank of England yesterday, Nick, announcing no change to interest rates. That was expected. The forward guidance suggests there may be a high likelihood of a cut in August. In fact, it was closer than many people thought, the Monetary Policy Committee, with a couple of members looking, they may have gone one way rather than the other. But anyway, rates as they are, that would be of disappointment to the UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, who would have had a bit of a boost had they cut rates yesterday, but they didn't. Of course, earlier in the week, we had the UK CPI announced at 2%, which is the Bank of England's target. We've got some PMI figures to talk about on both sides of the Atlantic a bit later, Nick. But first, your reflection on the Bank of England announcement and how markets took to it.
Yeah, so in terms of the Bank of England yesterday, pretty much everything came out in line with expectations, both on, as you mentioned, the official bank rate, as well as the bank rate votes, which of course the Bank of England has a cool way of reporting their forecasts going forward from members of the committee there on whether or not they're going to, or they think they should cut, hold, hike, etc. So again, things came out as expected. Pretty much, they're still on course to cut rates. And you know, as you mentioned, it is an interesting timing because CPI in the UK hit 2%. I mean, we're jealous of that over here in the US. Of course, there are some things that we'll get into in just a moment that come with that CPI coming down to 2% that are not as exciting. But the point is, inflation has really reeled in. In fact, the last time we were on the podcast, we talked about how UK inflation actually a year ago, Johnny, was totally different than what it is right now. I mean, a year ago is the opposite effect. The UK's inflation was sky high and the US was seeing some progress. It looked like, again, Fed may cut rates. And just as we jumped on the podcast today, you'd mentioned, you know, it's crazy how things have changed in the last 12 months on that story. But I think that in terms of going back to the Bank of England, they're still expected to cut rates. It is pretty globally, it's almost becoming the norm now to start cutting rates. And, you know, we talk about this often that central banks are kind of like a herd of buffalo. They all kind of move together for the most part. We also saw, and worth mentioning, on the same day, hours before the Bank of England had their release of this information, we heard from the Swiss National Bank, which actually surprised and cut interest rates again. This is the second time in a row that they've done this. And what this, I think, tells you is that, again, I think it gives the green light when you're a central bank and they've mentioned many times in conversations and in speeches, you know, heads of these committees that are making all these financial decisions, these economic decisions. The monetary policy of each of these banks kind of follows suit with one another. So we are seeing, again, we've seen progress in the story for rate cuts. The Bank of Canada has cut rates. The ECB has cut rates. And I imagine that with the Swiss National Bank cutting rates as well, the Bank of England is on its way too. Now, again, the U.S. Federal Reserve is on a different timeline, it seems like. We got some information about the PMIs this morning you mentioned, Johnny.
Indeed, European PMIs were actually weaker than expected, Nick. On your side of the pond, actually stronger than expected. So it just goes to show this weakening economy we have on this side of the Atlantic, a reverse mirror to where you are at the moment, which just does suggest that the inflation numbers that you're experiencing versus over here are about right.
Yes, and that divergence between the PMIs that came out middle of the night for me, early morning for yourself, was the German, French, and Eurozone PMI, both manufacturing and services numbers came out. And it was pretty much a sea of red in terms of expectations. It was worse than expected across the board for most European economies here. And that's both the European mainland as well as the UK's numbers, which came in lighter than anticipated. That's PMIs. One saving grace, I guess, for the pound or the UK is that the retail sales number also came out better than expected. They revised the previous number up. So that was a little bit of a positive there for the UK in terms of economic data. But again, PMIs came in really light. And then the wrecking ball to the situation, the big bully that showed up to the playground is the US dollar, which came in with a contrary report, stronger than anticipated, both on the manufacturing and services PMI that came out this morning, showing growth in the US economy. And this growth, you know, is a different story. You have growth on one side of the Atlantic and slowdown in the other. And what does that do to markets? Well, it creates divergences in the valuations of the currency. That's why we've seen, again, the dollar strong this morning, the euro and pound taking a little bit of a beating there. And you can see it pretty clearly in the dollar index here today, which continues for a second day, a nice strong green candle, at least at the time of recording this video. We're trading at 105.8, a big bounce from where it was just over, you know, 2 weeks ago. We were down at 104. So big jump on the dollar index and really coming in strong with those PMI data points here this morning. Just a quick note in terms of other things that were affected by this, the stock market sold off shortly. It has since recovered those losses, at least at the time of recording this. Gold has also seen a big haircut this morning from this data point as, again, what this might suggest, what do these PMI data points tell us? Well, from a US dollar perspective, the US dollar looks really strong because that may push back the expectations for interest rates. It factors into the calculations, the probabilities that we get two rate cuts this year. It might be just down to one. We'll have to see how that plays out. But this is certainly not a positive for the story for the rate cuts expectations. Now, again, that is if you're taking a look at the dollar index. You know, the dollar is benefiting greatly from this. But at the same time, other central banks still seem poised to cut rates. So that divergence is what is leading to such a strong dollar here overall this week.
It's been a busy week, hasn't it, Nick? What is to come over the next 7 days or so?
Yeah, so next week we get a little bit more information on the consumer with Tuesday's consumer confidence report out of the U.S. We get CPI out of Canada, Australian CPI as well. So plenty on the global side. And then more from the UK, we get the Bank of England, their Governor Bailey speaking on Thursday, which could be, you know, anytime a key figure like that is speaking, it is worth paying attention to see if anything is noted there that could be telling, just like when Jerome Powell speaks. These are very important figures that make a lot of powerful decisions. We also get on Thursday the final GDP numbers out of the United States. We get more unemployment claims as we do every week. And to end out the week, I think one of the big events is going to be the core PCE price index. We get more inflation statistics, and everything is paying attention to these inflation statistics now, especially as we see other central banks setting up to cut rates. We need to start seeing that inflation in the U.S. come down too. Otherwise, we very well may enter into, you know, if you get another round of strong inflation data out of the U.S. or high inflation data, the U.S. dollar might have some more upside. So we'll have to see how that PCE data comes in next week.
And I would imagine that the Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey will have to choose his words carefully, so to speak, because we're on the eve of a general election and he doesn't want to be seen to be taking sides. Not even taking sides, but actually saying the economy is in a better state now and we are ready to make interest rate cuts in August or whatever it's going to be. But I'm wondering whether we'll get much information from Andrew Bailey next week or not, really.
That's a good point too, Johnny. And you know, a discussion I was having recently with a colleague was basically along the lines of like when central bankers have to make statements, especially when there's so much tension, what you'll probably see them do is talk out of both sides, be very, very, you know, politically correct and you know, not really make any strong points. You know, one quick note on that is like when Jerome Powell made many, many kind of stances against the inflation that was rising in 2020 and 2021, he kept saying that inflation is transitory. It's transitory. And this was kind of, a lot of people would point to that as ego of thinking you know what the data is going to come in before you get the data, and kind of front running the data. And a lot of people accused him of that. And that was a mistake of the Fed, I think, to be so strongly positioned on anything. So it is almost, you know, as a Fed official or as a central banker, you're, you know, leaving opinions out of things just seems to be the strongest course of action, just to keep people from, you know, absolutely disliking you.
Indeed. Nick, thank you very much for joining us today. Have a great weekend, and we'll speak to you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Johnny. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.